Welcome back to the Stairway
Playoff Edition. Mr. Just Wright behind the mic, as usual, with me, the dynamic duo of Steeler Podcasting. Bad news, B-Rai, what's up?
What's up, Mikey? Not too much, man. Just things are great. Got the playoffs upon us. You got the Steelers going to the Super Bowl. Just happy to have another week of football to watch and talk about.
And also joining us back again, he passed with flying colors the first time a few weeks ago, Doomsday. Danny, what's up, Doomsday?
Yeah, not much. We got football and horrible weather. So, you know, they go together like pie and ice cream.
Pie and ice cream. I love that. What's your favorite pie and ice cream combo? Do you like a vanilla apple pie kind of guy or what?
I like a coconut cream.
Oh, I had some of that over the holidays. I love any type of meringue. I could eat a bucket of meringue. I don't know about you.
You don't like the whipped then?
I like meringue. Whatever's on top of coconut cream pie, lemon meringue, graham cracker cream my mom makes, whatever's on top, that frothy, you know what I'm talking about. Frothy, milky, yeah. Semi-solid.
You can either go the meringue or the whipped.
Sure. Sure.
So you like take it all.
I like them both. Yeah, I like them both, Doomsday.
I'll take it all, yeah.
Yep, we'll take it all, that's for sure. Speaking of taking it all, guys, here we are. What a season. Tumultuous highs and lows. We started off the preseason high as can be, right? Great draft. Great free agency for Omar Khan. Great preseason. Undefeated. Offense was perfect. We were coming in with high expectations, right? Home opener comes. We just get beat down by a presumed favorite, and they were, the San Francisco 49ers, definitely. Embarrassing loss at home, and we had some highs. We had some lows. We came back a little bit. Lost to the Texans early. We were kind of surprised about. Offense could not get going. The calls for Matt Canada came every week. The bye came and went. No movement. Finally, we got rid of Canada. So here we go, right? First game with the offensive coordinators. We got Sullivan, the quarterback's coach, and Faulkner calling plays, 400 yards. Then Kenny Pickett gets hurt. Mitch Trubisky takes over. We lose to 2-2-10 teams on the easiest part of our schedule. Doom and gloom, right? It's over. We were ready to fire Tomlin. Maybe we still are. I don't know. We'll see. Let's give it a week. All right. And then, guys, Mason Rudolph takes over the helm and everything changes. All of a sudden, we win out the last three games, right? Get a little help from the Tennessee Titans. We're in the playoffs. We're 10-7, just like we predicted. B-Rai, I think you predicted 11-6 at the beginning of the year, right? Is that what you said?
Yep. 11-6, but considering the route getting here, I'll take that. That's pretty close.
It's been a long and windy road for sure. So all of that considered, guys, crazy season. Now the only question left to answer is, who are the Steelers going to beat in the Super Bowl? Am I right? Doomsday, who do you got? Who do you got in the Super Bowl? What's your Super Bowl prediction? We got to get them out there now.
Oh, okay. We're not going to wait and see what happens here in Buffalo?
We got to make our Super Bowl predictions just in case we don't win this
49ers,
game.
We're going to whoop them.
We're going to whoop on the 49ers. That would be a classic franchise battle right there. The Steelers and the 49ers would both be going for their seventh, right? The Niners have 6-2. Am I correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think.
Uh-oh.
Or maybe they have five. I think they have five and the Pats have six.
You might be right.
The Pats probably are one up on them.
Yeah, you might be right, B-Rai. B-Rai, who's winning the Super Bowl this year? Let's get it out there.
Steelers in the classic rematch, you know, classic teams, long histories. I think have they played each other in the Super Bowl before?
Steelers and the Niners? No,
never in the 70s. Okay.
No.
So rematch from game one this year, they're going to just blow them out. Just, you know, like 30-10.
Rudolph, MVP, I assume, right?
Yep.
Yep. Well, same here, guys. Yep. It's
Nodge,
funny.
200 yards.
200 yards? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, guys, I have the same prediction. Steelers over the Niners in the Super Bowl. Let's fucking go. Let's go, boys. The Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. You know, I don't know if anybody expected us to be in this position a month or so ago. We were pretty low on this team. We have a chance, though. We're going up to Buffalo. But before we get into the Bills, let's talk a little bit about the last couple weeks. We missed a week ago coming off the game against Seattle. And B-Rye, I believe you picked against the Steelers in that one as well. Did you guys both pick against Danny? You might have picked the Steelers.
I picked the Steelers, actually.
I was the only one that picked against the Steelers.
Right. Yep. I picked the Steelers in that one too. And they, honestly, from a team effort, from a complete game standpoint, it was one of our better games, I think. We really ran the ball well. Now, I don't know how indicative that is of the Steelers' offense. That Seattle defense was terrible, but we got the job done, no doubt. Najee, Jalen Warren both had great games in that one. George Pickens has had a little bit of a resurgence here. And then we come into last week against the Ravens in a classic 17-10 Steelers game. And they did have a lot of backups playing. Obviously, they didn't have Lamar. So there's a little bit of an asterisk in this one. But they took care of business. It was a sloppy, weird game overall. I don't know how you guys, it was like a fever dream to me. We got a lot of snow on Saturday here too. So the snow is coming down, but it was raining in Baltimore. Buckets, raining buckets, cats and dogs. Chris Fowler was the announcer. So it was just a weird dynamic in that game. Overall, the Steelers got the job done though. And with a little help from the Titans on Sunday, we're in the playoffs. Doomsday, Danny. What were your takeaways from the game against Baltimore?
Yeah, pretty typical Baltimore weather this time of the year. Cold rain, you know. They get a lot of it. Like you said, we get the snow and they get the freezing rain and the ice. Sloppy game. What did we have? 5 fumbles? Recovered, I believe, 3 of them. But, yeah, it's a game that's hard to judge players in, you know, especially the passing game with Rudolph and the receivers. What Jalen, I believe, put 2 on the ground. I think Najee put 1 on the ground. I know Rudolph had at least 1, if not a couple. The only thing I could say is, you know, the Ravens didn't put it on the ground as much as we did. So for some reason, they didn't have the problems that we did with that. But, yeah, that was an issue. But the running game overall was great. And the defense was good. And we can get into the details a little bit more.
Yeah, it's hard to blame them. That was a really sloppy game. Actually, the Ravens fumbled twice. They lost them both. Both their running backs, Gus Edwards and Melvin Gordon, fumbled. We put 6 on the ground, actually, 6, and lost 2. Calvin Austin also lost 1, which I forgot about. Yeah. Warren almost lost another one, too. I think he had like 3 fumbles and 4 or 5 touches there at one point in the game. So Ravens made a little push there at the end. They elected to take the field goal, but time just ran out for them. Big play, though, by Deontay Johnson on a huge passing play, really busted the game open. I believe that was the first play of the fourth quarter, and he kind of did the Madden move where he was running one way up the field and then jerked the other way to get in the end zone. That was impressive. That's what you want to see from Deontay Johnson on a regular basis. B-Rye, any thoughts on the Ravens game overall before we get into the box score here?
Yeah, kind of like what you guys said, a classic AFC North January game. At times, the weather was so bad that the camera lenses were getting blurry, so that was kind of annoying. But, you know, it kind of matched the way the game went. It was just completely sloppy. With that being said, I think we I got to applaud Rudolph making enough plays, holding on to the ball just enough, getting that deep one to Deontay. I mean, it was a not a deep throw, but he was able to get it quickly and make a big play out of it. So for him to put up over 100 rating, that's pretty good in a game like that. Obviously, it's very hard to judge how the team overall performed offensively, but you got to like the way they pulled out this one.
Yeah, absolutely. You just got to take care of business, right? I mean, we can hem-haw all day about how that kind of set up for us nicely with the Ravens securing the 1 seed prior to the game and doing the smart thing and sitting their you know, star quarterback and a lot of other players too were out. But you just got to handle business. And one of the big critiques, I think, for this team is they didn't handle business against teams they should have beat earlier in the season. I don't, you know, I think you can roll out just about any roster for an AFC North team in any given game, and it's always going to be a battle, right? It's always going to be a slobber knocker. So you can't take it for granted whether Lamar is playing or not. And historically, Lamar, you know, we kind of keep him corralled pretty well. So you got to think that the team, we got a lot of guys coming up off the street, making big contributions as well. Eric Rowe, Miles Jack doing some nice things as well for the team. So they got the win. That's all that matters. 17-10, Steelers are going to the playoffs. Just a three Saturday games for the Steelers too, and it's just weird. Just a weird end of the season schedule for the Steelers.
Yeah. But,
you know, I think looking back on it, we wouldn't like to have had help. You think you take care of business against the Cardinals or the Patriots, the Colts, some of these other teams we could beat, and we didn't. To not have to put ourselves in this position, but it is what it is. 10-7, Tomlin's streak continues. Everyone's happy again for a week anyways. Let's look at the box score. You guys kind of teased it there a little bit. Mason Rudolph was 18 for 20, guys. 152 yards and a touchdown. In weather like that, can't ask for much more. You take care of the ball, no interceptions. 18 for 20, that's tough to do in weather like that. Not a lot of yards, but a lot of yards on the one play that mattered to really take control of the game in the fourth quarter there. B-Rye, what'd you think of Mason's performance there? We talked a little bit about it early, but obviously it was enough to get him the nod here in the playoff game.
Yeah, I think he was efficient. He made good decisions. And in a game like this, very important. Don't force any balls in bad positions, because you know it was just bound to be intercepted if you made those kind of moves. So we have three good games in a row. I'm trying to keep it in perspective. You know, I feel like the first two games Mason came in were against weaker defenses. This was against a Ravens defense that had a few starters missing, but I still think they're a deep defense. So I really want to just see a little bit more body of work for Mason to see what he's capable of here. But the biggest thing about him compared to the other quarterbacks, I feel, is he's a big guy. When the pocket starts to collapse, he doesn't panic. He's not very mobile, so he can't really try to scramble too much anyway. But he doesn't panic. He keeps his cool. And his hand and arms and everything is above the O-line, and so when they come in to bat the ball down or get to him, he's still trying to make a play, and he's strong. So he's shown the ability to when things crumble, just stay in the pocket, keep his cool, and make a play. And I think that's been the biggest difference between him and Kenny and Mitch.
Stand in there. Exactly. He made a couple throws while he had guys in his face or falling down, getting rid of the ball, avoiding the sack. He saw it a couple times in that game. Doomsday. Any thoughts on Mason's performance here?
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, that is his most impressive trait recently, is that ability to stand in there. There were times he only got the arm moving forward about halfway, and, you know, in those conditions was still able to get enough on it and accurately to get to completion. There was an interception that he, well, it could have been an interception. He didn't throw a pick there, but it was a bad throw. Could have easily been picked. And he had that one in the pocket that he lost. But, I mean, when you only throw two incompletions in conditions like that, you know, it's pretty hard to complain.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with him. And one thing, expanding a little bit on the offense, is a lot of three tight end sets, I noticed, and I thought the blocking overall was very good from them.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah.
And I feel like Connor has played some excellent football at times lately, blocking, catching. You know, he's a good scrappy player, but he's played even a little better than I thought he could, actually, last week or two.
I think him and Warren, Warren especially, has been, well, except for this last game where he lost the ball, he almost lost it three times, or he lost it twice. Hayward and Warren have just been some of the most consistent contributors to the team all season long. Hayward is just, Connor is just a Swiss Army knife type player. You mentioned it. You can block, yep. You catch the ball. Just a good utility player. Just a good football player for sure. We'll talk about it a little bit more later, guys, but you know, I think there's sort of an elephant in the room now with the quarterback situation, and a lot of it I think is going to come out in the wash in Buffalo, but I think we have to address kind of the future here. And we'll talk a little bit more after we get through the box score here about what we're going to do at the field general spot. Running backs, another good game. Najee eclipsed 100 yards. Did he get over 100 against the Seahawks, guys? I didn't catch. I know he had a real solid game.
Yeah, yeah. This was his first back-to-back 100-yard rushing games in his career.
Wow. 26 carries, 112 yards, 4.3, touchdown. You've got to like what you're seeing from Najee. The jeans are fully ripped off now. We joke doomsday. I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but a lot of people are saying it looks like Najee is out there wearing jeans when he's running. And earlier in the season, I would agree with that. These last couple games, again, the guy's missing in Baltimore. Seattle's defense is a sieve, so I don't know how much we can take from it, but he does look a lot better. Jaylen Warren had 9 carries, 33 yards. Not his best performance, probably his worst performance of the year overall from him in terms of touching the ball. Calvin Austin had a carry for 8. Pickens had a carry as well for 3. And Mason rushed twice for -1 yard. So that's something that Mitch and Kenny brought a little bit of, but not enough to make a difference when you're looking at Rudolph. They could scramble a little bit more, maybe get a first down with their legs. Mason, you're not going to see that as much from him. But again, the other two guys, we didn't see enough of it all year long for that really to make a difference in this offense right now. Doomsday, any thoughts on the ball carriers?
Yeah, I think that is the kind of game meant for Najee. He's a mutter. You know, just get going straight ahead and use the power. You know, where Jalen's got a little more wiggle, which is harder to pull off in a game like that. And it's nice to have, you know, complementary backs where you can pick a skill set that's better suited to the conditions. And that was a Najee game, I thought.
B-Rai, any thoughts on Najee or Jalen in this one?
Yeah, Jalen definitely had probably his worst game as a Steeler, but you know, you're not going to have that kind of a weather game too often, so I do expect him to rebound. But Naj is built for this. He's kind of like a Derrick Henry light, where as soon as it gets colder, the weather gets shitty, he just gets better and better. So it's kind of become a trend over the last couple of years. He starts off slow, kind of like the Steelers offense in general, kind of like our O-line in general. They start off slow, and then as the year goes on, they get better and better. So I did also see this was his he's the first Steeler running back to begin his career with over 1,000 yards rushing each year. So he's frustrating as at the beginning of the year, but as the year goes on, he is looking good. So makes you kind of think. I know we talked a few episodes about, do you keep him for that fifth year? We were, I think, in the no camp. I did see that according to Over the Cap, it would cost them $6.7 million estimated if they put the fifth-year option on them. So something to talk about.
I thought it would be higher than that. 6.7, I think I'm in, actually. I thought it'd be more like 10 or 12. So.
Same.
Yeah, well, he was in the later part of the first round, right? So the longer you go, the lower that salary becomes, which plays a part in that. I don't know, guys. We got a whole nother year before we have to cross that bridge, right? I don't know.
If there is a position that I'm going to use a tag on, you know, it is that rookie contract running back.
Very interesting, Doomsday. We'll get more. We got all offseason to talk about that. And you know what? This next game could completely flip all of our narratives and talking points on their head.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird situation. Like I said, with the quarterbacks, we'll talk more about that. And then the weather is going to be a wild card. But to your point, Danny, it's going to be another game we need to call upon Najee, and he needs to get it done. His weather is not going to be pleasant in Buffalo. For sure, the whole Rust Belt is going to be impacted by this game. Pass catchers, guys. Deontay paced the team. Good to see. We need to see more of that from him. Having that 1-2 punch with him and George. He had 4 catches, 89 yards. 71 of those yards came on the touchdown to start the fourth quarter. 5 targets for him. Freiermuth, 2 catches, 21 yards. Najee, 5 catches, 21 yards. Jalen, 5 catches, 17 yards. So the running backs, the dump-offs. Good to see the Steelers adjust in the crappy situations to use those guys to get out of trouble and get some easy yards from them. Connor Hayward, 2 catches, 4 yards. Allen Robinson had a target, but he didn't have any catches. Either one of you, anything to add on the pass catchers we haven't already talked about here?
I was just happy with Pickens. He seemed like, okay, I had a couple good weeks there. This isn't my kind of game. We're going to go more tight end sets. It's more of a running game. And he seemed to buy into it. It didn't seem to be any issues. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's funny how winning can kind of change those kind of things. But I think that's a good sign from him. As long as we're winning, he seems to be okay with that. They did double team him the entire game. So, in that kind of weather game, you don't want to force into a double team unless he's clearly wide open. He was back to throwing blocks. Good to see. We did use him on that jet sweep for that critical first down. So, good to see there. And then Deontay had a big game. It's even in games like this, it's good to know we have guys capable of breaking a long one to kind of bust open the defense.
Absolutely. It was a beautiful touchdown from Deontay. Like I said, the change of direction to get free and into the end zone, create separation was nice. So that's the kind of plays you expect to see from him. And, you know, we've connected with George and Deontay on kind of those, I don't know, slant route, in breaking, kind of post route, you know, that they did. They very similar routes, it looks like they ran on both of those touchdowns. George's long one a few weeks ago. And then Deontay. So it's good to see them again use the middle of the field and be able to bust those long pass plays. So we've had a couple of those this year. Kenny had a big one, I think it was to Calvin Austin. So the Steelers may be up there, weirdly enough, in terms of like long touchdowns in the league, because it seems like the few touchdowns we've had, that some of them have been really long this year. So it's good to see the offense pull that off. On to the defense, guys, are bread and butter. Eric Rowe, can we say enough about him the last couple weeks? He's been a really solid addition. He paced the team in tackles in this one with 12, 10 solo tackles and a pass defense. Does this guy stand out to you? Is he a keeper here, guys? What a guy, what a player to add off the street, huh?
Yeah, I think he could be in the mix for sure. I didn't think Peterson had quite as good of a game at safety. I think you maybe see some of the more physical games that are more run-oriented. You know, maybe safety is a little more difficult for him in those kind of games, like this one. But also, he's inexperienced there. So, you know, there is a chance for him to become accustomed to it and get better as time goes on. But yeah, I think Rowe will be in the mix if they get him signed. I believe it was a 1-year deal that he's on now, but I can't imagine it would be too expensive of a contract.
Yeah, maybe more. It speaks more to Omar Khan's, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, his ability to go out and find guys with pedigree, veterans. He's always kind of scanning the streets, for guys who can come in and contribute. And maybe he's not, you know, obviously a long-term Steeler. He's a veteran in the league at this point. But hey, if you can squeeze a couple good games out of a guy towards the end of the season, that's a credit to Omar Khan in the front office to find those guys who they can plug and play. And when you're down several players, going down the deep.
Yeah, it's,
oh, sorry, B-Rod, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they use the safeties this game, because I think he's proven that he can play in the league. Early in the year, we like to play a lot of three safeties, so I think they're going to keep using him.
Yep, I wouldn't mind it. Hey, and if he's just the cavalry, so be it. T.J. Watt, guys, had a nice game until the injury. 8 tackles, 6 solo, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for losses, and hits on the quarterback, obviously. So he came away with the NFL sack lead, right, by 1.5 sacks over Trey Hendrickson and Josh Allen. He is your sack champion for the year. And if the statistic I saw was correct, he's the first Steeler to do it 3 times. Is that correct?
Yep.
So
I think he's the first player to do it 3 times.
Right. That's what it was. Yeah. Not just Steeler, just player. You're right. Doomsday. Yep. So another banner year.
And yet not enough for a player, defensive player of the year, apparently.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. I think the fact that we made the playoffs helps his cause tremendously, because I think if we didn't make the playoffs at all, there was no chance. I think that's just a blemish on the record, despite how good of an individual performance was. But how much he mattered to this defense as a whole, I mean, there's times you could argue that we might be 2-3 wins less if it wasn't for his contributions in some games.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he's a contender for sure, but the way the winds are blowing and all the talk you're hearing, it kind of sounds like it might be Myles Garrett.
Well, he was dissed today on the All-Pro team. So
I saw that.
Leading me towards believing he wouldn't get the defensive player of the year.
Well, that was Pro Football Focus's All-Pro team, right? Not the official.
That was PFF's? Okay.
Yeah. It was ridiculous either way. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like he wasn't even a backup All-Pro on their list. He was number 5. So, I mean, that's just enough proof to show how much of a joke that place is.
Wow.
Well, is it because how they categorize the defensive ends and outside linebackers? Or, well, I mean, that's just seems ridiculous that he wouldn't make it. I didn't see the list, but I saw the headline that he didn't make their All-Pro team. That's crazy.
Nuts. Yeah, I mean, Garrett and Crosby certainly deserve to be in the conversation. Off the top of my head, I don't know who else would even be in the conversation with Watt.
They had Hutchinson ahead of them. And
oh, so this is the whole NFL, okay.
Yeah.
Not just the AFC, gotcha. Yeah, that's still crazy, though. Maybe Micah Parsons, I guess, would be in the mix.
Yeah.
But I'll still take Watt over any of them.
68 tackles, 19 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 3 recoveries, an interception, 8 passes defense. I mean, just a standard year for T.J. Watt. So we'll take it. I know that much.
I believe I've seen the record without T.J. is bad. Somewhere around 1-13.
Bad, yeah. Not good. But we'll talk more about that too, Doomsday. I think we're better prepared to back him up here this year. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into Buffalo. Mark Robinson did a few things in this game, guys. He had 5 tackles, 4 solo. He had a sack as well. Miles Killebrew, pro bowler, right? Or was he?
Special teams.
Was it? He got something, right? They didn't announce the Pro Bowl yet. What am I thinking of? Killebrew got some type of honors. But a great season for Miles on special teams. He had 4 tackles, 3 solo. Marcus Golden did a nice job backing up here today, and that's going to come into play in this Buffalo game. I think he had 3 tackles. He had a sack, another hit on the quarterback, 2 tackles for losses for Marcus Golden, who kind of forget about all year long because we've had good luck health-wise up until this point. Miles Jack had 3 tackles. Alex Highsmith, same for him, 3 tackles, 2 solo. Keanu Benton, another nice game from him doing what he does. He had 3 total tackles. Cam had 2 solo tackles. Mikel Walker had 2 tackles, 1 solo. Pat Pete, Landon Roberts, Larry O, Shannon Sullivan, Levy Wallace, Loudermilk, all had one tackle, one solo tackle apiece. Montrevious Adams had a pass batted down as well. Larry O, Golden were the guys who caused the fumbles on the other side. Any thoughts on the defense, guys? Doomsday, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I was very impressed with Robinson. You kind of knew he was a physical player and had some ability as a run stopper, but he looked really good this game in a complete way. And it makes sense. It was, you know, the kind of game, sloppy conditions, you know, run-oriented game. It was suited for his style. But nonetheless, no, I was impressed. He arrives quick and with bad intent. And, you know, it's good to see from a Packer. Other thoughts? Yeah, I thought Landon Roberts had a good game coming back in limited snaps.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get him, you know, moving back up to 40 snaps or so a game. But, yeah, I thought he looked good.
Yeah, I agree. Mark Robinson probably had his best game as a pro. The elements, I think he was built for that downhill style. So if we see that again against the Bills, I wouldn't mind them blitzing him against Josh Allen. I think that'd be a good matchup there. Golden proven to be a very good backup, dependable. Elena Roberts, I could tell he was kind of playing hurt, but he's always in position. He's always making plays. Hopefully he heals up, because we're going to need him here coming up. Highsmith, just another Highsmith game. Tons of pressures. It seems like the quarterbacks just know when he's coming, and they get away from him. But he still affects a lot of plays, so he's invaluable. And we're going to need him to step it up with TJ out. And then also Levi Wallace. They leaned on him a little bit more. He let up a touchdown. It seems to happen every game he's in. So hopefully the depth moving forward with getting a couple guys back can help with that.
Levi Wallace, Levy Wallace, whatever you want to call him, revenge game coming up this week, right?
True.
Oh, yeah.
Calvin Austin handled all the kicks in this one, guys. He had 5 returns, 92 yards total. Decent game from Calvin. Chris Boswell was perfect on the field goals and extra points, as we've come to expect. Boswell's toe, guys, is a big part of the new Steelers fight song, which just dropped. B-Rye, you clued me into that. Those guys who write that song every year, just geniuses, how they come up with those lyrics. And, of course, the big part of it every year, and Len always makes fun of it, is who's got the toe? It's Gary Anderson. It's Boswell. Jeff Reed, you name it. That's always a key part of the song, is getting 3 points. When you can't get it in the end zone, you get 3 points off of Boswell's toe. So hopefully we can rely on him. It's going to be a tough kicking game coming up this week. Presley Harvin, guys, he had 6 punts, 41.7 average. I think he also had a shank or two in this one. Just another inconsistent game from Presley Harvin. And that is a nice segue into our injuries and transactions, B-Rye. So I know you were excited about this. Presley Harvin's been inconsistent all year long. We talked about this earlier in the year. This is the time of year. These are the types of games. One bad punt goes a long way to ruining the game for a team in this kind of weather, where field position is at a premium. We can't afford those types of transactions. So the Steelers saw that, B-Rye, and what did they go out and do today?
They signed Breadwing to their practice squad.
Coincidence? Question,
yeah, I mean, Buffalo wings.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. But in all seriousness, I think Harvin's proven he can't kick in bad weather. If you're playing in Pittsburgh, if you're playing in January, you have to kick in bad weather. So signing wing, we'll see if it's just to kind of light a fire under him, or if they actually plan on activating him. If it were me, I would activate him, because he's the kind of punter who he might not boot a 55, 60 yarder, but he's going to be dependable. So I think that's what you need in a game like this.
Yeah, and I don't know that we saw that from Harvin much this year anyways. I mean, he's more of the hang time guy. His average has been hovering around 40-some yards a punt all year long. And yeah, we just can't have the inconsistency. So I wouldn't mind seeing Buffalo Wing up there, guys. Speaking of Buffalo Wings, I got to ask both of you before we go any further. Of course, Buffalo, we talked a little bit before the show. They're known for their wings. Wings were invented there. Chicken wings, obviously. Are you, Doomsday, are you a wing or a drum guy? If you could have just all one in an order, which would you take?
I can do either one, but I would say the drum, if given a choice.
Sad. B-Rye, you're up next.
Well, I love wings. I'll take a drum. I'll take a flat any day. I prefer drums, which works out perfectly. My wife loves flats, so we just, you know, wow. we can share them. I'll take all the drums. Yeah, I prefer the drums. Just a little bit more meat on them.
See, I disagree.
I will say, if you get the nice thick flats, then, you know, I'm perfectly fine with that. You know, it's just those thin flats don't give you much. That's the problem.
See, I think you get a nice wings, guys, flats. I'm not a big fan of calling them flats either. It's the wing, okay, of the chicken. I think if you get a nice one, you actually get more meat on it. Okay, it's a little bit more work, but there's not all that cartilage. See, I just think that cartilage is very misleading on the end of the leg there. That wing, you can satisfyingly rip it open, right? You can bust it open on that soft point. And, you know, I've seen some people from Buffalo, they stick the whole thing in their mouth and it comes out absolutely clean. I'm not brave enough to do that. I'm a wing guy. Okay. I'll flats, whatever you want to call them. I think that's the adult way to eat them. Drums. You're not eating chicken wings. You're eating chicken drums. You call and you get an order of drums. Come on, they're wings. You got to go wings. You got to bust it open, stick your finger in between the bones there, whatever you want to do to get it out. They're just a lot more fun to eat. Okay, and it's better quality meat. That's where all the work is done on the chicken, so it's nice and tender. Again, you don't get all that rough stuff at the end there you're biting into and gristle and all that crap in there. Give me a dozen flats. But I'm with you guys. I'll eat either one, but I like a bigger flat to drum ratio, but just give me a lot of them, whatever it is.
I think you've got a bad drum source. They're not as bad as you're making them sound.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to bash them. I'm just saying that the adult way and the better way for me is the wing, the chicken wing, Danny. It's it's just much more mature way to eat wings. Come on, the drums are for kids. So reassess yourself there.
I don't think I've ever looked mature eating wings. So,
all right, you get a chance to redeem yourself. Blue cheese or ranch?
Blue cheese.
All right, attaboy. B-Rye, don't ruin it.
On 99% of things, I want ranch, but with wings, I want blue cheese.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, a good blue cheese is hard to come by. I like nice, big, thick clumps of mold or whatever that is in there. On scooping it up. Oh, yeah. Went down to we have very few food options where I live, and one of them is a little gas station called One Stop. And I don't know if you guys have ever gotten pizza or wings from a One Stop before, but it's highly underrated. It's real good, doughy, kind of thick crust pizza, and their wings blow foxes out of the water, which is the other food source here where I live. And we were having people come over, and I realized, oh shit, we don't have any blue cheese. So I went down to the grocery store, aka the Dollar General. No blue, all kinds of different ranches and dressings. No blue cheese though on the shelf. So I had to ask the One Stop, do you have any blue cheese I can get in like a tub? You know, and they're like, yeah, absolutely. I had low expectations, gas store blue cheese, but this blue cheese just blew me away. There was giant chunks in there. I couldn't have been happier. So check out your local One Stop, guys. Friend of the show, Burger Daddy, B Wags. He's a big investor, a proprietor of some one stops, and I highly recommend him, as well as Drip Coffee House. And also, Doomsday. How can we forget? We haven't talked about our sponsors, Napoli's Pizzeria, a good friend of the show as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they've got good drums, good flats. They got it. They got it all there. Market price, I assume, still.
Market price.
Oh, man. We need to get back to reality, guys. This inflation.
Yeah, it used
down.
To be like steak and lobster was always market price.
Yeah.
Who would have thought wings, market Jeez, price.
Ridiculous. What a world we live in. So we touched a little bit on the transactions there. B-Rai, anything else happening on the transaction wire for the team, and what's the injury updates?
Transaction-wise, I don't see anything big. I did notice some small practice squad movement, but nothing noteworthy. As far as injuries go, we have a lot of guys banged up, but really we have TJ that's gonna miss it. I think there's a chance if we were to somehow move past the Bills that he could play the following game. That's speculation. Lynn Roberts, he's banged up. He's limited with the pack. I expect him to play. We are getting Minka back. It sounds like he's definitely going to be playing. We also have KZ, who was on the suspension list. And originally, he was supposed to be suspended for the whole year, but then it got reduced to him being eligible to come back for the playoffs. So he's going to be back. We're going to have our safeties at full health. And really, at this time of the year, I would say not too bad.
Yeah, the TJ loss is just huge. But Doomsday, I think you touched on a little bit earlier, the record is horrible. I think we have one win his entire career when he's been out, and he's been injured, you know, off and on most seasons of his career. He's missed, I think, at least one game.
Yeah.
And that affects Highsmith's performance as well. Highsmith's performance takes a noticeable dip when TJ is out of the lineup. But this year, guys, we talked a little bit about Marcus Golden, a vet, a sack artist for the Cardinals, for the Giants previously. But Nick Herbig is the guy I'm really excited to see. I don't know what the what the distribution of snaps was when TJ left between Herbig and Golden, but I'm anxious to see more Nick Herbig. B-Rai, what do you think? Do either one of these guys have a potential to make an impact between Golden and Herbig in this game?
Yeah, I definitely think they do. Not to the degree TJ has, but Golden, he's a guy that just plays to the fullest each and every play, so he can make plays, and I think Herbig is just a mismatch. He's very fast, especially against bigger offensive tackles. They have a hard time getting down to his level and keeping up with them, so I think they have a chance to make some plays.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of these teams who had success against us, they schemed against TJ. They kind of neutralized them, threw the ball towards him and towards his pressure to get some easy yardages to kind of keep him at bay. So maybe this kind of shifts the focus away from him and gives an opportunity to let some of these other guys make some plays, let the Bills kind of lull themselves into a sense of security, if you will, because this is a very volatile offense. They can run hot and they can run very cold. They're very prone to turning the ball over, and I think our defense has the ability to capitalize on that. Doomsday, how are you kind of assessing this matchup here between the Bills offense, who has been yin and yang this year, and the Steelers defense?
Well, I'd have to say, first of all, that you know, given they have Josh Allen, and as happy as I've been with Rudolph the last few weeks, I think you would have to say that the bad weather, if it is an element, which it appears to be, does favor us. You know, that reduces the edge a little bit that they have with Josh Allen. I don't really think they have a lot of weapons with the Bills. Cook's good running back. Diggs is still a good receiver, but I don't think he's quite what he was. They added, was it Kincaid at tight end? But the supplementary receivers and tight ends, I don't think they are deep there. And that could be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, Gabe Davis.
And also, I don't know that James Cook, his running style is real conducive for this kind of weather.
It's a good point with Cook there, Danny. And Khalil Shakir is a guy who can make some big plays for them. He'll be slowed down probably because of the weather, we think, if the weather looks as bad. And I'm going to pull up the forecast here once I throw it over to you guys again. But Gabe Davis did not practice for the Bills. It's Wednesday today while we're recording, so they just did a walkthrough. But Davis did not practice. Also not practicing for the Bills, Rasul Douglas, who is the cornerback they picked up there. Leonard Floyd, I think he was just resting. Von Miller, same thing. He hasn't had much of an impact this year coming off the ACL. And Taylor Rapp, their safety. So some injuries to keep an eye out there for Buffalo that could be key for them. You mentioned Stephon Diggs, Danny. I think if you put Porter on him, that's a very interesting matchup. He is not the receiver he once was. I don't even want to speak the man's name because he screwed me so bad in fantasy football down the stretch this year that I want to puke. I regret playing him in almost every week in the last 6 weeks of the season. Just did not have a big impact. He had an injury concern earlier in the year. It looks like they're almost using him as a decoy in a lot of ways. He got a little bit more involved, I think, in their last game against Miami there, but he hasn't had a ton of targets, even less catches. I mean, he was only catching 3 or 4 balls a game for them. Just he was making big catches, big first downs, but nothing huge, nothing splashy from him. Just hasn't been the focal point of that offense. And with Dawson Knox coming back, Kincaid also took a step. But overall, their offense looks better after all this has kind of transpired. So it's been weird. Josh Allen has certainly elevated his game. B-Rai, what do you think about the Bills' offense here, and do we stand a chance against this kind of resurgent Buffalo team?
I definitely agree with what Danny was saying about the weather being a neutralizer. Mason's been playing well, but Josh Allen is like one of the best quarterbacks in the world. He's been when he's hot. He does make mistakes, I will say that, but when he plays well, he's one of the best in the world. So I think if the weather reduces him to having to play more backyard football, I think that's a huge advantage for the Steelers. I think he's a guy that, even though they don't have a lot of supplemental players that are big game changers, I think he brings the best out of people. So I think he can make Knox and Kincaid have big games. He's capable of having Shakir make big games. Diggs, he still scares me. I know what he's capable of. James Cook in the screen game, I think he's one of those guys that when things go right, he makes everyone better, and they can be very dangerous. So hopefully the weather's shitty and we can, get the edge on that.
So the game is Sunday at 1. Orchard Park weather, which is where, it's Highmark Stadium now, Ralph Wilson Stadium, I always call it. 25 degrees, snow showers, some wind, 22-mile-per-hour wind. So it looks like there's going to be just crappy weather on Saturday, just crappy weather all weekend. But in terms of Buffalo, I think it could be a lot worse. Obviously not ideal conditions, but I don't know how much of a variable it'll end up being on the field of play, but something to keep an eye on. It's definitely going to be a little bit of a neutralizer, I think, for both offenses. But Allen and his ability to run the ball is kind of the X factor, I think, for both teams in terms of both offenses and him being able to take the ball, run with it, pick up first downs when everything's kind of covered or we get a good pass rush. That's going to kind of be the thing to keep an eye on for Buffalo. I do think we can beat them. Though, guys, I think if we get a couple of things go our way, we can win the turnover battle, which is key. This team can be beat. They had some serious losses on defense this year. Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano have been out for them most of the season, so they are missing some key pieces. But, overall, this was a team 6 weeks ago. A lot of people were questioning, are they even going to make the playoffs after a lot of hype? So, it's going to be an interesting matchup for sure. Any other matchups you guys got your eye on? Any players you're looking at on the Bills on the defensive side of the ball, B-Rye?
So I think Naj against that middle-of-the-road run defense is going to be huge. You already talked about JPJ matching up on Diggs. I think that's important. So the Bills, they actually allow, I saw they allow 1.4 sacks per game, best in the league, and then when they're at home, it drops to 1.1 sacks. So we might not be able to get sacks, but as long as we can get pressure on Allen and force him to make turnovers, I think that's the key in this game. Lately, he's been kind of making some really risky throws. So if we can get him to do that, that's going to be huge. I think Mason needs to continue to play smart, avoid turnovers. Really just kind of a grinded out kind of game, I think, is what's going to be in store for us.
Danny, any other matchups, X factors, variables you want to highlight in this one?
Well, you said what the forecast is looking like there, and that actually sounds like a pretty nice day in Buffalo. So, not quite the horrible conditions that I thought it might be, but there's still time for that to change. We'll see. You get those, you know, lakefront effects going, and I think it's about the running game, you know, much like last week. You know, if you can average 4.5 yards a carry, minimize the turnovers, and just Mason make a key play here or there and just be efficient, that's how you can stay in this game. I don't love our odds. Buffalo's pretty tried and tested recent years, playoff experience. We are not. But, hey, let's see what happens.
Yeah, you got it there, Danny. We need to keep over 4 yards a carry from both backs. They both need to be a factor. We need to keep that offense off the field, keep them nice and cold over there, keep them sitting in front of the heaters on the sideline. I mean, the run game for us is how we have to take control. Mason, this is going to be his first playoff start, right? So this is going to be new water for him to be treading in. And, man, he can make himself a nice payday, perhaps, with a good performance here in the future. Yeah. And perhaps be the leader in the clubhouse going into next season for the team. I don't know. There's a lot of questions. But before we get into some of these kind of questions coming into the game, I do want to talk a little bit more about that, guys. We joked opening up the show about who the Steelers are going to beat in the Super Bowl, right? So I'm picking the Steelers to win this game. I can't back off that prediction, as silly as it sounds. But that being said, guys, this is the fourth meeting all time in the playoffs between the Steelers and the Bills. The winner of the previous three games has gone on to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Wow. Now,
this is the first playoff game between the Steelers and the Bills in Buffalo. The previous three were at Three Rivers Stadium. The Steelers are 17-12 overall against the Bills in their history, and those playoff games go back to 1974. Danny, you remember that one? That's when Steelers went on to
not
win.
Not quite.
The Steelers went on to win the Super Bowl in that one. The Bills beat the Steelers 24-3 back in 93. Of course, they went on to lose to the Cowboys. And then the Steelers returned to favor in 96, who also then went on to lose to the Cowboys. And, of course, infamous Super Bowl 30. The Neil O'Donnell threw away the game because he was in the back pocket of somebody there. We all remember that one. Was Larry Brown, a couple interceptions, was the MVP of that one. And the Cowboys went on to win, I think it was 27-17 or something like that, in Super Bowl 30. So good history with these teams. The winner will go on to the Super Bowl, mark my words, in this one. First time in Buffalo. I got to say, guys, I went up to Buffalo once, up to Orchard Park there for the Winter Classic, actually. I went up for a hockey game. I knew a lot of people. I had some relatives in Buffalo. They're very nice people. Obviously, they're kind of cut from the same cloth I think, as a lot of Steelers fans are coming from the Rust Belt. Solid people overall, good fan base. Whatever the outcome, I'll probably end up rooting for Buffalo if they do win. Obviously, a lot of turmoil in that fan base. I couldn't imagine losing four Super Bowls in a row. What kind of stress that would put on somebody.
Yeah.
The fan base deserves it. They haven't had a lot of pro sports success up there. So losing to Buffalo wouldn't be the worst thing. You know, if we were to play Kansas City or Miami or something like that and lose to them, I would probably feel a lot nastier. So it's going to be an entertaining football game for sure. B-Rai, we joked about the Super Bowl. I'm picking the Steelers in this game for real in an upset. I think we get it done. B-Rai, honestly, what do you think?
So with the Ravens game that we just played being on a Saturday, the Steelers do have an extra game to recover and prepare for the Bills. The Steelers are 5-3 this year against teams who have made the playoffs, and they're a team on the rise. I think the Steelers certainly have a shot in this game, especially if the weather's bad, but I do expect the Bills to win. I just overall think they're a better team, and they're playing at home, so I think they're going to win, but it wouldn't shock me if the Steelers won. And if we got the first playoff win in what's it been, like 7 years or at least, that'd be pretty, you'd have to feel pretty good, like almost like we achieved our goal this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be a step forward for sure. Doomsday, are the Steelers going to win this or what?
I don't think. Got to live up to my moniker here. I'm going to go, I'll go 23-17 loss. Yeah, the Niners Super Bowl, yeah, that ain't happening. That was a joke.
Come on. I'm going to say 19-17, 19-17 Steelers. Is how it was what I'm going with.
Mine was close to Danny's 23-13 Bills.
Okay. It's gonna be a nice playoff game, guys, but I do want to talk about the elephant in the room. We'll obviously have a lot of time to talk about this in the offseason, but we have ourselves a little quarterback controversy. Kenny Pickett is supposedly healthy. He's supposedly number one on the depth chart still, right? But they're starting Mason Rudolph, who's won three in a row. This, I think, is the right decision, starting the hot-handed quarterback. Both you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, so what happens if the Steelers do win this game? Mason Rudolph plays competently. What do we do next season with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph? Do we let them battle it out in camp and see who the victor is? Are we back to a Kenny Mitch situation? Doomsday, what's your thoughts here? And even if we don't win, what if Mason puts up a good fight and looks, and the offense looks good and the Bills just outscore us? What do we do with our quarterback situation?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I do think there has to be some level of competition. And I guess before we even get to that point, we need to get Mason re-signed. So that's another thing. And we'll see how he performs this game. If by some chance we win, you know, how's he perform moving on from there? Yeah, he could put himself in position for a big payday that maybe we're not on board for with already having Kenny. But I think ultimately he'll be back, and I think it will be a competition. Given Kenny's draft status, they'd probably prefer that he take the job, but I don't think they would give him the job. I think it'll be a fair competition.
B-Rai, what's your thoughts on the quarterback battle? I mean, I think if Rudolph lays an egg here, obviously they're going to go back to favoring Kenny, but what happens if Rudolph has a good game here, B-Rai? I'm incorrect. I thought Rudolph was under contract for next year. It looks like he is not. So do you resign him? Do you bring him back? What do we do here? Because the offense just looks better with Rudolph.
Yeah. I think you have to cut Mitch, and you bring Rudolph back. I think he's going to want to come back. I think knowing the offense, he didn't have a good experience testing out free agency this past off season. He lives here. I think he wants to come back. I think though they need to make him a good offer. I would offer him something around what Mitch was making, maybe add some incentives if he becomes a starter and, you know, plays a percentage of games, does well. So I would personally bring him back. Worst case scenario, I think he's shown that he can be a good backup, but I would let him battle it out. I understand you have a first round pick at quarterback, and I understand he didn't have, you know, the best offensive coordinator to start his career with. So I think there's still a chance that he is your franchise quarterback, but you have to have an open competition. You have to do what's best for the organization, no matter what round the guys were drafted in or what kind of investment you have in them.
Yeah, just a lot of question marks because you didn't see a lot of Kenny under the new offensive coordinators. And of course, you know, I think maybe we still look outside the organization. I hope we do anyways, in terms of replacing Canada next year. So that's another variable. Just a lot of question marks heading into this offseason, no matter what, especially if we drop this game, boys. But let's finish this week out first, all right? And in the stairway, we'll regroup, win or lose. If we lose, we got a whole offseason of content to talk about, free agency, draft. It's going to be a huge offseason for this team no matter what. But if we win, I think we go to Baltimore, right? So we'll talk about that. When the Steelers win, right? Doomsday, bad news, living up to their names, as Danny said, predicting the Bills winning this one. I'm sticking by the Steelers with the upset. All right, so we'll see who gets it right. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
No, it'd be interesting to end up back in Baltimore in some kind of a sloppy game again. That would be wild.
Yeah, that'd be great. Here we go, Steelers. Let's at least win a playoff game here. Keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, you drum-loving negative Nancys. Here we go, Steelers. This is Mr. Just Right. Enjoy the playoff game this Sunday, everybody. Hopefully, we're here to talk about the Ravens game coming up. For Bad News B-Rye and Doomsday Danny, this is Mr. Just Right. And we'll ring you out to this one. Here we go, Steelers.
Here we go. Slap at the bass.
Be right. You think you could play this on bass or what?
I'm gonna learn it. I was on the bike earlier and I heard. I'm like, man, I need to learn that.
Yeah, that's some Les Claypool shit.
You have
that
much free time?
Sounds like Geddy Lee wrote this.
All right, guys, here we go, Steelers.